Hey everybody, welcome to Rider Club Radio, the internet's number one podcast ever.
You always gotta give it some kind of ridiculous credential that we can never back up. Ever.
Nobody knows the internet.
No one will check. There's too
Our
many.
Entire user base are still trying to figure out how to use RuneScape correctly. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And for those not in the know, this is a podcast where we dissect the deep meanings behind children's toy commercials from Japan.
Welcome to Philosophy Club Radio.
I think, therefore, I buy toys.
I think video games are a metaphor for having sex with your mother in XA.
Whoa!
Yeah. Pretty shy. I've assembled a few papers on it.
Why don't you back up that with any credentials whatsoever?
I will back it up by describing this week's episode. How's that sound?
Yeah, that'll do it.
This week we watched Kamen Rider X8 episode 39, and
we also watched Jetman episodes 1 and 2.
Oh,
so
boy.
If you didn't watch that, pause this and go watch it. Grown Ups in Spandex has a full torrent of every episode, so get it.
Make like Cronus and hit that pause button.
Oh.
And go and watch Jetman.
You.
That's what I would do if I was him. If I got bored in the middle of a fight, hit pause and just bring up some Jetman on my phone, and then when I'm done, get back to the fight.
Tell me what happened on X8 this week.
Okay. So Snipes recovering in the hospital. Things are going great. Brave's a little awkward around him, but it's fine. Meanwhile, in the forest, in the bad guy forest, Cronus appears and tries to kill Parod and Graphite. And just as he's about to kill Parod, he's so close, he's throwing the giant green buzzsaw at him.
As humanly possible.
Slowly, it spins on the ground for so long.
It's like the scene in Austin Powers with the, steamroller driving at him.
The guys there like, for like 15 minutes.
Move out of the way!
Parod is sitting there hallucinating that he's drowning for like 38 years while this buzzsaw spins. And just as it's about to kill him, he jumps out of the way and Emu comes to his rescue. And beats up Cronus, and since Cronus is a big bitch, he runs away.
Yeah, Cronus gives him an ultimatum first, though. He says, I've infected your favorite person on the planet Earth, Nico.
Your best friend and lover, I'm pretty sure. Nico.
I just know that you've stood next to one another once, I think. So you're friends, so I infected her with cancer.
Can you fucking...
just now.
I just blasted her with radiation while you weren't looking. She definitely has cancer.
So, she has the Gemdius virus, so in order to save her, you're going to have to complete Kamen Rider Chronicle, which means you gotta kill Parod. Which is what I wanted to happen to begin with, so I get what I want, and I don't have to do anything.
He hands them, I guess to avoid any dramatic tension with Poppy, because we can't have her involved in the plot at all, he just throws them the Gasha Trophy for Tokimeki Crisis. And they're just, no, I think it's because, Lovelica's dead. He said, you beat Lovelica, take this shit. But he says, yeah, to get the rest of them, you have to kill Parod. I'm pretty sure Parrot's the last one at this point, I think.
Isn't Graphite?
Graphite, right. Parod and Graphite are left, so you can't really put off Parod any longer. So everyone's worried, they're like, are we gonna have to do it? I'm not sure.
Are we gonna have to murder Parod, this monstrous motherfucker that's playing with human lives like they mean nothing?
It's so wrong. But
I don't want to do this to him.
But if they kill Parod, Emu's cured and he can't transform anymore. That's the real shit.
Yeah, that's all anyone cares about.
So, yeah, I mean, understandably. So Parrot's thinking about it, or Emu's thinking about it. He's seriously considering it. And during this time, he asks Dan, he says, Dan, what if I blow up the Master Chronicle Gashat? Would that work? And Dan says, maybe. I don't know. Probably just let Nico die. Because we can't lose you. And Emu, no, you're fucking no help at all, Dan. And he leaves. And he goes, and he fights Parod on the roof. And he brutally murders him.
Yeah, there's a fucking moment where I literally went, shit! And it's when he was like, I'll win next time. And he starts to teleport away. And Emu teleports and grabs him and says, there won't be a next time.
You're dead right now. And it's because...
Like, Jesus Christ.
It's because there's this very tender scene between Nico and Emu where she sort of she makes amends with him. I'm sorry for acting like such a prick all this time, and if I'm being truthful, I am horrified of dying. And Emu's like, okay, I gotta kill Parrot. There's no way around this.
Yeah. He remembers what it was like to feel that feeling,
mm-hmm.
that he thought he was gonna die. And he doesn't want Nico to have to live that, because Nico is such a perfect, lovely person.
Nico is so great. She never deserves anything bad. So he goes and he destructifies Parrot, and then the next episode preview is a giant fuck you. Jeff, what did you think of...
it really is.
What did you think of X-839?
If there was ever an episode when I wished I hadn't watched the next episode preview, it was that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
It starts, and like, it's like, next episode, woo, everyone's trying to beat Cronus, and they can't do it, because they don't have Emu. And you're like, okay, that's interesting, that's pretty cool. And then it's like, but X-8 returns. Oh. Okay.
I guess I don't have to watch it then.
Cool, thanks for just telling me how it's gonna go. Well, tune in next time on The Death of Burai.
That's our one example we're going to use forever.
Well, there's the famous one, Frieza defeated, but that's the low-hanging fruit. I like to use Death of Burai.
Will Burai survive to see another day? Find out next time on The Death of Burai. Jesus.
G-Range is a great show, but oh boy.
This episode was nuts.
I loved it.
It was a great episode, like, I could not believe how hardcore Emu got. Like, Emu wanted to be hardcore, and his mom let him.
His mom was not there to stop him in this case. There was a bit, like, he acts all evil, right? He's like, oh, I gotta kill you. And I was, the whole time, I'm like, okay, this is a ploy, obviously.
Yeah.
And there's a bit when he's about to kill Parrot, and Dan says, okay, look, I'll tell you for sure, if you destroy the Chronicle, Gishat, you'll automatically win. I'll tell you that for sure. And at that second, I thought Emu was going to be like, thanks, I was just tricking, and leave.
Yeah.
But then he's like...
it seemed perfectly set up for that, but nope.
Nope. He just kills him. Kills him straight up. And it's an emotional scene. Because Parrot, the whole show, is very, like, smug. He starts... for, like, the first half of the show, he's very threatening, he's very strong, he beats everyone up a lot. To see him in this really vulnerable state, just terrified of dying, and reduced to shaking and just seeing him like this is very interesting to his character.
He's almost the protagonist of the episode. Like, everything happens around him, and almost every insight we get into the emotional state of a character is him.
Yeah.
Like, we get a little bit of insight into Emu.
Emu and Nico's relationship is fleshed
Nico's
out.
Nico's is very, like, surface level. Her, the look into her emotions is very surface level. We get a little bit deeper with Emu. We get a little bit of, like, the flashback and a little bit of his resolve from it. But we see firsthand Parrot's fear, and the whole falling into water and drowning thing is an easy analogy that we as an audience can understand.
That was such a weird part that I thought was a flashback when I first saw it. It took me a bit to realize that it was. It took me a bit to realize that it was a metaphor. At first, I thought, like, is he experiencing Emu's memories? Did Emu almost drown? No, it's just a metaphor for his, like, feeling of helplessness, which is interesting. Yeah. It was kind of weird because X8 hasn't really done anything like that up till now.
It was very, like, pre-decade.
Yeah, a little. I could see that in a show like Blade or Agito.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Agito.
Agito, my favorite Kamen Rider show. Kamen Rider Agito. I'm actually a poser. I don't know how to pronounce any Rider shows.
That's true of us. If you've heard any comments about us, that's a really difficult decision to get into as a character. Like, Emu's decision. I mean, it's not going to make any difference, obviously, because we saw the preview.
I hate that preview.
And if you didn't see the preview, so sorry.
So sorry. If you're the kind of person that doesn't watch the preview, blame Toei, not us.
Yeah, we fucked you over, but they fucked us over first.
Ooh,
so.
We're just passing along the blessings.
That's a really difficult decision for the main character to make, though. Like, do I give up my ability to save everyone to ensure that Nico lives? Or do I allow Nico to die so that I can keep my power?
Mm-hmm. And it's
he made the decision that was more immediate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's arguable that he made the decision that was more selfish.
I don't think Emu would ever sacrifice a patient. I just don't think he would do that.
That's his character.
Yeah, even if it was for some nebulous benefit down the road. He's not a utilitarian. He's a man who wants to save just any patient that comes to him.
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me of, there's this comic book called The Books of Magic, this DC comic by Neil Gaiman. Did you ever read that?
Never even heard of it.
There's this whole theory that J.K. Rowling ripped it off for the Harry Potter characters.
Oh, really?
The main character looks exactly like him, and he's a wizard.
That's funny.
And is introduced to the wizard world and shit.
That's cool.
He is trapped, like, the main character's trapped in this hallucination where he is, like, trapped in place, and he's facing a tree, and the tree, speaks, but all the trees do. But he becomes friends with the tree, and then the forest starts to burn down, and he uses his magic to sacrifice the rest of the forest to save that tree.
Ooh.
Because it's immediate to him. He has a connection to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the difference between a character that we as an audience can relate to. Because, I mean, even the most cold-hearted motherfucker is like, I would do whatever it takes to save people I care about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a different kind of hero to be like, well, if she has to die to save literally every other human on Earth, I guess I have to.
Yeah.
But that's alien to us as an audience.
That's not a decision a Kamen Rider would make, usually. That's
like a heroic Kamen Rider, anyway.
Yeah, even I could see, like, obviously we know with this bullshit, he has it both ways. I could see any show writer.
Guy would make that decision.
Who?
Guy.
Guy of.
Like Condor?
Yeah, he would. I could see show writers also pulling the same shit, just like somehow having it both ways.
Oh, yeah, that's sort of like a kid's show trope, isn't it? Like,
I picked the third option. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah, you sacrifice everything and it doesn't matter. You still get to keep it all.
Yeah. I remember a bit in Stronger where he's trying to save Tackle, and he gets gassed with this gas that turns you evil. It turns Tackle evil, so we know it works on cyborgs. And he gets gassed with this gas that turns him evil, and he just pretends. And it turns out it doesn't work. And the boss is like, why didn't the gas work on you? And Stronger's like, I don't fucking know. I feel like they pull some shit like that, where they're like,
dude,
how would
that's
you...
That's my favorite thing about Stronger, though. There's this bit in Spirits where, like, the Rider 1 and 2 go through all this shit to break into this secret headquarters of Shocker, or whatever, the Badon.
Badon.
They break into Badon, and like... they're fighting the enemies and they're getting overwhelmed, and then like Stronger just bursts through the ceiling, and Ambassador Hell or whatever, or General Hell is
Ambassador
like,
Hell, yeah.
Well, Ambassador Hell was dead. It's like a different
a different guy. Oh shit,
yeah.
Fuck me.
And he's like, how the hell did you get down here? And he says, like, I know.
I was just punching downwards, and I feel like that's what he would kill the guy and then still be able to transform, and they'd be like, how? And he'd be like, I don't have any answers for you.
Like, I give a shit. That's Stronger.
That's
and
him.
I love it.
I love him. good old Shigeru Joe.
This episode, though. I can't believe how fucking hardcore Emu gets. And I'm sure, like, when he put his hand in Parod as he was disappearing, he, like, fused with his Kokoro.
It's gonna be some bullshit, yeah. But the way they framed it is, like, as him, he's not remorseful, he's not sad, he's just stone cold. It's time to fucking die.
It's like... It's difficult to feel... This episode did a really good job of making you feel sympathy for Parod, but it's still difficult to feel sympathy for Parod, because he is a giant piece of shit.
Well, he's a character that you... Like, when you realize his history, it doesn't excuse his actions, but it explains them. Like,
you
we were talking...
understand him a lot better.
Yeah, we were talking about last week, and you see more of it this week, where, like, Masamune kneels down next to him, and he's like... Don't worry about dying. You were born to die. That's what you do, bud. And obviously, Parod doesn't take that well. Like, it's a horrible, horrible existence for him. So yeah. he's him lashing out at humans is not the most far-fetched thing.
No, it's difficult to compare him to somebody like Hart, though. Like, Hart and his people had been, like, horribly mistreated.
Yeah, from birth, yeah.
He saw, like, humans as, like, a blight and, like, careless and horrible and, like, irredeemable, let's put it that way. And for the most part, it doesn't seem like the Bugsters are actively villainous unless they're under his orders.
Yeah, Bergermon is the famous example, or Poppy, really.
Yeah, so he's turning all these monsters who seem mostly pretty happy with their existence.
He's radicalizing
against humanity.
Yeah,
he's kind of a piece.
He's kind of a shit.
But you can't help but feel for him in this episode because he doesn't want to die, and he's fated to die, and there's no way around it.
Yep. Unless he somehow lives next episode, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he's, like, actually fused with Emu now. They're, like, the same guy.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. But it had to happen, right? Like, you can't have your main character lose the ability to transform before the show's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be interesting, but they would never do it.
Yeah, I could see it for, like, a temporary, for, like, 2 episodes, maybe.
Yeah.
Have, like, a big crisis, but no, not... Obviously not permanently. That'd be nuts.
I think back to that idea we came up with once collaboratively on this show for a writer who, like, a series that starts out with 2 writers, like a main writer and a secondary, and the main writer is this, like, bastion of justice, heroic, great writer or whatever, and the secondary writer's kind of an idiot bitch, and the main writer gets murdered, like, 5 or 6 episodes into the show. And then you have to see the secondary try and live up to the first.
The callow
youth. Save the day.
Yeah, following in his footsteps. I remember I was coming up with that. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that
I want to see that.
That's an interesting idea that Toei will never do.
No. And I mean, we're at the point now where literally no one stands a chance against the villains.
Well, I mean, assuming you don't know what's coming next episode... Yes. Assuming you don't know that X-Aid is just going to return, yes. But when X-Aid's around and he's got that Muteki, Masamune's a fucking bitch.
Yeah, he doesn't...
He's a punk.
That's why I'm glad that he's branching out from just showing up and trying to fight them. He has some sort of a plan.
It's clearly not
that.
Working, yeah. And it seems
because
like
he's just getting his shit wrecked every single time, and there's nothing that can help.
Maybe it's because the main character is literally invincible.
Could be.
Probably a bad idea for writing, Toei. I don't know how you're going to pull a rabbit out of a hat for this one.
Well, they gave the villain a different plan that doesn't involve I'm going to punch him and hope it does better this time.
This time, truly. Maybe he's invincible, but maybe I just wasn't punching hard enough.
I'm glad that this plot line of, like, we have to protect Parod is at least over.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was going to get real old.
No more of that bullshit. I think Masamune is going to die next week. That's my guess. He seems
maybe.
Like he's starting to lose it. He's, like, there's that shot of him, like, really pissed off. And all the whatever energy swirling around him. I feel like that's a death flag. Like, he's about
Probably.
To play his final
I
game.
I mean,
but...
the show's on its way to being over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 40 is next week. Wow, we're close.
Yeah, how many episodes is it? 48?
Has it been revealed exactly how many episodes? I haven't checked.
I don't know. I haven't checked either.
Let's assume close to 50. Just be safe.
But I know it's shorter.
Is it going to be shorter?
Sure. Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's not 50.
Probably mid-late 40s.
But Gemdius could be the final villain.
Yeah, he's probably going to be. I'm sure.
I like that little teaser in this episode for the movie.
The,
With the other CEO.
Is that the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I was wondering what the hell that was.
It's a movie tie-in.
So that's, they give him the gamer driver, and I guess one of them is the ninjas?
I don't know.
That's
dumb. I don't know
dumb.
If it ties into that movie, or a different Hyper Battle video thing, or a different movie that's gonna come out after, I don't know.
That's dumb. I thought that was gonna be expanded upon later in the show.
Not that I know of.
Fuck you, Toei. Don't do this shit.
You know how Toei works.
They used to not do this. They used to not touch these two different things. But with, like, Drive, they start really... Like, Drive is the... Like, the hyper battle videos and stuff in Drive are, like, unambiguously canon in the show and mentioned specifically, and the characters come back. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like that was the start of that shit. Like, the characters from Gaim's soccer movie never show up in the show. And no one ever mentions it.
Because it's an alternate dimension.
Yeah, but, like, Baron never mentions that he goes to soccer world. There's just that stupid ad episode, and that's it.
Don't they lose their memories at the end of that or whatever?
I didn't watch the stupid movie, Jeff. I don't actually know what I'm talking about, okay?
That's nothing new about Rider Club Radio. We never know what we're talking about. Thanks for listening.
I never saw the soccer movie because no one... I think it got subbed way late.
I didn't see it
either. Because Acer kind of crumbled and, yeah.
I don't know what happened with it. Even if it came out the day it was fucking aired, I didn't watch it, so... I don't care about soccer. I'm an American. I'm an American, and I don't even care about American football, so I don't care about everyone else football, either.
Do you care about the B-ball?
I like basketball.
Okay. Is it your favorite sport?
Do you like the way they dribble up and down the court?
Is that all we have to say about X-Aid?
It's a really great episode.
Good episode.
I had something I wanted to touch on, though, that's X-Aid related.
What's that?
I was talking to a friend of the show, Max, the other day, and we were discussing, what does level zero even mean?
I think level zero means you can rewrite shit.
But, like, what level of power are they at? Because level zero was, like, knocking around, like, level 99 people and shit. It was, like, way more powerful than level 50. And X-Aid level 99 couldn't handle it very well.
I feel like level 0 is when the writers stopped caring about power levels.
Yeah, could be. There always has to be a point when you push it too far.
Yeah. And they're like, we have to abandon this. It's not... No one cares anymore. Like, we're at points when it doesn't matter. Like, Cronus doesn't have one. Muteki doesn't have one. They're just strong. They're just fucking strong.
I feel like power levels are much better hinted at and implied rather than outright stated.
Yeah, like something like Gaim, where you just kind of figure that the energy locks are stronger because it just seems that way, and you don't really need to... That way you can mix it up a little.
The Nut Riders are weaker. You can tell because they have to use more power to get the same amount of attacks and shit. It's implied.
Yeah, it's when you attach hard and fast numbers to it, you sort of... There's a rigidity to that. Yeah.
There's definitely a difference in storytelling between Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, and it's because of the Scouter being introduced.
Fucking Scouter.
And suddenly there's a number to power levels, and power levels have to be exponentially higher to be shocking.
Yeah.
When a villain shows up and your character's like, their power level's like 10,000 or whatever, and a villain shows up and their power level's like 12,000, no one cares.
It's gotta be 1 million.
It's gotta be 1 million!
Thank God they abandoned that shit after Frieza.
Yeah.
Just like X-Aid, throw them away.
Yeah, it's true. I was just curious, you know?
Yeah.
They were very rigid on levels and what they were before, but level zero gets introduced and they're like, whatever.
It's level zero is just however strong the writers need it to be, I don't know.
It's a good power level for writers. but yeah, I just wanted to talk about that for a second.
Okay.
We can hear some news, because we got a lot of it.
Some news. So much build shit got revealed this week. Finally, TV-kun came out. And Toei's just like, here's everything. Here's the whole show. So build is double again, kinda. He's got two halves, and he mixes and matches his halves.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it seems like one half is an animal and the other half is a machine. That seems like the theme, but then there's some that kind of break that. His base form is...
Ninja comic?
Yeah, the ninja comic is kind of different. His base form is...
Nin-nin comic form.
Nin-nin comic. He's got rabbit tank. That's the blue and red form that he is. He's got like a porcupine... lightning thing and a tank. If this porcupine tank is the other one, there's a whole bunch of shit. A ninja comic, I don't even know what the fuck that's all about. A dragon that's also a lock
dragon.
Yeah, the key dragon. It's just like mixing and matching the bottles that we were mentioning a while ago. He's got those bottles.
Yeah,
that was
so
real.
It's you can use whatever bottle on whatever side you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
It seems like any like form can mix with any other form. They're sort of, they have their own little exclusive side, and they don't fuck with each other. So you can just mix them and match them all day long. So that's kind of neat. There's his weapon is like a drill gun thing.
It's his, like, weapon's a drill sword, and then it flips around and makes a earthworm gym hairdryer gun.
Yeah, it looks like a big ray gun. That's kind of weird. I don't really like the drill. I think drills are lame.
Drills built this country, sir.
Sure. And his secondary rider, who looks like an edgelord dickhead, based on
so
his
you're
suit.
You're gonna love him.
Gonna love him. Is Kamen Rider Close? Or Kamen Rider Close? I'm not sure.
Yeah. And he seems to have two sides that are the same.
Yeah, he's symmetrical. He's just got like a dragon.
He's got fire on his close dragon. Kamen Rider Close Dragon.
He's probably really fast because he's got flames painted on his suit.
It's true. They're not red though, they're orange. So he's definitely losing some speed.
He could be faster, yeah. Needs to optimize. But yeah, he doesn't use bottles, it seems like. He transforms with something called the Close Dragon. And yeah, it's weird as fuck. He looks really cool, though. I like his outfit.
He has a weapon called the Beat Closer.
The Beat Closer. It stops the music.
Beat Closer? It brings the music
closer
to you?
To you. I don't know. I don't fucking know. It's impossible. We have to hear them say it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Also, there's apparently a character called Nitrogue and his buddy Bloodstark, which sounds totally like a Sentai villain.
These characters sound like 90s Image comic characters.
Oh, with like a million pouches and...
Yeah, like Nitrogue, Bloodstark.
Bloodstark. I like them. They're very cheesy names.
Steamblade. They got a weapon called the Steamblade.
Sick. Yeah, it's... like Jeff said on Twitter, this show is probably going to be garbage now because the suit looks awesome.
Yeah, his main form is like one of the coolest looking forms.
Rabbit Tank is so cool looking. It's criminally cool looking.
Yeah, it really is. And so the show's going to be really fucking terrible.
Yeah, brace yourself. Show's going to suck.
I hope the main rider is as cool as his pose. That's the thing. They always have riders in these, like, really cool-ass, cool guy poses.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn out to be Emu.
Or, Takeru.
Yeah, Takeru or something, where they're just, like, a little bitch.
Yeah.
Like, Emu's not a little bitch because of Parod's side.
But, like, he himself is very polite and...
Yeah, he's a little namby.
I would like a rider. I want a Tendo, again. Just someone who's a big dick. I'm tired of having, like, polite sort of... I don't want to call him cowardly, but, like, just very polite and meek protagonists.
Yeah, like, meek and weak-willed protagonists.
I want a protagonist that's a big, boisterous dick.
Yeah.
It's a shame. But, yeah, check out... There's so many images of all these forms. Everything just got spilled today. Check a look at that. It's in the blog post. There's going to be a lot of pictures. Also...
Yes?
If you remember when they announced that X-Aid VR movie, they said, oh, it's a thing that we're partnering with PlayStation VR. And we said, maybe it'll be a cool game. Probably not. It's a little VR movie. Yeah, a little VR mini movie. Where X-Aid has a fight and you just watch like an idiot through your VR headset.
And it's three-dimensional.
Wow! I would love to see this, but I don't have PlayStation VR because I don't have money to burn.
A lot of money to burn.
A lot of money to burn. I feel like this could have been... You ever had... You've seen those Google Cardboards where you just slip your phone in and...
Yeah.
I feel like this could have been on that. If it's just a video, probably could have been on
that. Yeah, but they partnered with PlayStation VR and got a lot of money for it. You can't partner with Google Cardboard.
You can partner with Google on anything if you have enough dollarinos up front.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? PlayStation VR will make so much money off of little Hiroshis being like, I gotta see the movie, Mama!
I'm sure 10-year-olds will be convincing their parents to buy a fucking $300 headset.
That happens all the time, everywhere.
Just for this, though?
Yeah.
What the fuck else does PlayStation VR have?
They're gonna lie and say they want the fucking cooking simulator or whatever.
Like this, what, Batman Arkham VR?
I genuinely don't know what if there are any video games. There's like on PlayStation
three,
VR.
There's like three video games.
It's weird growing up how much I thought VR would be like the future of video games and I couldn't wait for it, and how much I just don't care now that I'm an adult.
Because no one can use it. Like, it's not, the technology isn't there.
No, when I said VR as a kid, I meant I put a helmet on, sit down, and my whole body goes limp. And I move around in the game.
Yeah, an actual VR.
Yeah.
This is reaching for the stars and not quite being able to make it. That's the VR we have now. Which is, it's cool.
Yeah. Like, I mean, other people can enjoy the shit out of it, and that's awesome. Yeah. I'm glad you do enjoy it. I just have no interest.
I don't know if I've mentioned it here, but I have a VR, like, arcade downtown that I go to that is hella fun, but I sure as shit wouldn't buy a headset.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if there was an arcade that had VR, I'd go and play it.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. It's a little expensive to play there, but it's totally worth it. But there's no games on there that I think would keep me, like, would justify that huge purchase of all that shit. That I like, it's fun in little bursts, little arcadey bursts. Check your scores or whatever.
Whatever.
Virtual reality. Fuck it.
Fucking regular reality sucks enough. I don't need a second one.
They also revealed some bottles for Xsafe. This is a little thing. So this is funny. So Build's all about combining two things. You take one thing and another thing and combine it. There's no Xsafe bottles. There's a doctor bottle and a video game bottle, and you put them in and it makes the Xsafe form.
Dude, I just realized what is going to happen
on
this television program.
What's going to happen?
There's going to be a bottle
That's
a pen bottle. And there's going to be a bottle that's a pineapple bottle.
Fuck off, no. It's going too to late. Happen. It's way too late.
It is going to happen.
Way too late. They already did a pen pineapple pen joke in Xsafe. There's no way they're going to do another one.
It's going to happen.
What do you think? I have a thing. I doubt anybody asked this question. What do you think the two bottles would be for your favorite rider?
For my favorite... I don't have a favorite rider. That's impossible.
Oh, for Joker, then. You like Joker, right? If there was a Joker form, what would his two bottles be?
But Joker is only one part of a two-part thing.
Okay, but fucking just humor me. Just once, Jeff. Give me this one thing. I'm trying to have fun.
If it was it would be a Kamen Rider 1, and it would be a robot bottle and a grasshopper bottle.
Oh, okay.
Shut the fuck up and stop bothering me. What about you?
For Knight, it would be a knight and a bat.
That's super easy.
Pretty obvious.
Joker doesn't really have a theme besides, you know, the card.
You have, like, detective and Kamen Rider. Joker.
Yeah, there you go. You did it.
There you go. That's as lazy as they're going to be, probably, so... How much you want to bet 10-1 that one of the forms in the future is going to be like a big bottle that fills both slots?
Oh, no doubt.
No doubt?
No doubt. There's going to be a thing that slides on the side of it that adds another slot.
Oh, for sure. That's apparently the big thing. The second last form is a thing, and then the last form is a big chunky thing on the side that either adds to the belt or adds to a previous thing.
That's it.
That's it. That's all about that chunky stuff. Sounds like it should be a quote from something, right?
All about that chunky
stuff? All about that chunky stuff. Like an old rap album or something.
So are you implying it's an ass?
No, I'm all just... about that no, maybe. Stuff? It could be.
I mean, I am.
I mean, oh, okay. Learning what? About Jeff.
I like butts.
I mean, he cannot lie, ladies and gentlemen.
Even white boys got to shout.
You other brothers can't deny. Jeff, we watched a nice new show this week, Chojin Sentai Jetman.
Yes, we did. We watched Gatchaman.
What did you think of the first two episodes of Jetman?
What a roller coaster ride these first two episodes of Jetman were.
What do you mean by that?
A roller coaster ride isn't the correct term, because there's no downs.
Okay, I was gonna say, I thought you meant like
it's all
parts of it were
it's
shit.
It's all like rocketing upwards.
Yeah, it's fast. Holy shit, a lot of stuff happens.
Yeah, the action is nuts.
I loved
it. Endless.
I really, really like this show so far.
I do too, and the thing I love most about it is just a little thing that I fucking, every time it happens, every time someone shoots a laser, and it does the 80s laser sound effect, my nipples just rocket up every time.
So in this bit, just for a quick recap, aliens attack and accidentally, like, they're gonna give bird powers to a bunch of guys, and they give them to one guy, and then aliens attack, and
they're
it gets
doing
just...
the Birdonic Ray.
Birdonic Rays. And
Tendo Ryu.
The Birdonic Rays, like, fly out and just hit a bunch of randos, so they have to gather them to fight the aliens.
Yeah.
That's what the first two episodes are about.
Yeah, Ryo's waifu gets sucked out into the cold recesses of space.
That's not even kidding. That's the reason why I wanted to watch the show, is for that awful, horrible death scene right in the first episode.
And then, in the second episode, he seems perfectly fine at the end of it.
He's cool. Yeah, let's form the Jetmen.
There is a bare-knuckle brawl between a giant fucking asshole and a guy who obviously has some sort of PTSD.
I love Guy.
And is ignoring it.
I love Guy.
You know what? The whole time Guy was on screen, I, like, disliked him even more because I knew you were gonna be like, I fucking love this guy.
The best part is at the end of episode 2 when he's trying to light his cigarette and Ryu is like, he's like, hey, I'll help you. And he lights it. And hands him the lighter, and Guy's response is he puts a cigarette away and just punches Ryu in the face.
Yeah.
Don't you ever fucking look at me again. And he drives away.
What? He's such a prick.
He's so mean.
He's, like, unnecessarily mean. What I imagine is there was, like, a succession of characters, like, Fifth Rangers who were, like, edgelords, right? And they just got edgier and edgier. And Guy is the natural end point of that. He's like, stupidly edgy. To the point where he's like, fuck the world getting destroyed. That's not my problem, man.
Well,
I just want to have a cigarette and ride my motorcycle.
If you're him, right, think of it this way. You're just some dude, right? You're just trying to make your way in the world.
I'm a giant prick.
Probably has a shitty life. And someone just comes to you and says, hey,
he plays saxophone in a cool jazz band.
Okay,
what's shitty about that?
He's probably cool, but I bet he's lonely. For all his talk about how he lives all alone, he probably hates it, I bet. That's going to be his arc later.
Probably so.
He's probably lonely, he hates his life. And some dude comes up to you and is like, hey, I know you didn't ask for this or sign up at all, but you're fighting to save the world, now come with me. I'm like, fuck off, dude.
Well, if I'm me, I'm like, fuck, I have superpowers? That's bitching. Let's go save the world.
If you're you, but if you're a total bitch with a terrible life, maybe you're not so into it.
Maybe. I feel no sympathy for this piece of shit. Unless it turns out that his parents were, like, murdered and then resurrected by a necromancer and then murdered again. I don't give a fuck.
It's probably the Baron situation where they both commit suicide right in front of him.
Probably.
Probably.
Inoue did write this.
I like... See, here's Inoue's strength. The big strength of Inoue, at least pre-Fies, is that he writes intense character drama. Really, really, like, character melodrama, almost, like, in how heavy it gets. And I love that.
Like, Guy is, like, cartoonishly
I'm more talking about Rie flying out of the airlock.
Oh, yeah, Rie getting sucked out into space.
And there's that scene after they land and get out where... Is it Ryu or Ryo? I forget.
Ryu.
Is, like, having a breakdown in the mission control room while
the commander is kind of, like, heartless a little bit. She's like, just cry now so you won't later.
Let it out now so that you don't have a breakdown while you're fighting the bad guys.
He's like, she's like, cry now and then never cry again.
If I catch you, you are fired on the fucking spot.
I love that she knocks him out, carries him to the jet when they're on the space station. I thought that was awesome.
Oh, that was a great scene. I like the general, the commander.
Yeah, she's cool. I like that her jet becomes possessed and grows arms.
What the fuck was up with that?
The structure of the show is so strange.
I'm really happy that I'm watching, like, an old Sentai show. It's been a while. It's nice to have,
I'm
like,
really enjoying it.
A healthy dose of camp into my weekly toku is well appreciated.
Those flight special effects are just amazing. 10 out of 10 flight special effects.
I know you're joking, but I love them. I loved the flight special effects.
There's something so special about, like, terrible flying special effects in old shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought they were doing the hypest shit by having guys on wires in front of, like, backgrounds.
Yeah. I really liked the, like, all the plane stuff, when it's just toys flying through clouds, is nice.
And the practical special effects of them, like, being pulled on a crane over the ground when they're flying, and there's no background, like, they're literally just, like, being swung over a desert.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I love that.
Love it.
Legitimately love it. There's no, like, ironic loving it mm-hmm. to that part for me. And the laser special effects. Mwah!
My favorite special effects moment was when Guy gets dropped by the muscle plane. Drops him. And Ryu jumps out of his plane and skydives down to Guy to throw him his Jetman changer. And he's like... It's one of those things where I feel like out of context I would really notice the bad special effects, but in context I didn't really notice them. I was totally just into it.
Yeah, that's the strength of the show, is like no matter how campy and ridiculous it is, I'm into it.
Yeah, it's a very good show.
I'm really enjoying it.
The beginning is great.
I didn't think I was gonna be really into the Jetman outfits because of like how segmented they are.
Yeah, I kind of don't like the pants being all white.
Yeah, I'm actually starting to like them. They're no Gotcha Man.
No, not quite, but they're cool.
But they are cool.
I love that everyone has. There's great suit acting too. The fight choreography is fantastic, and everyone has their own fighting style. Like Pink and Yellow have no formal training, so they just suck. And obviously Red is the trained military man. He fights just fine. Black fights dirty. He likes street fights.
He like grabs people's dicks.
Yeah, he grabs a guy's balls at one point and like crushes them. It's just really cool. I like that stuff. And you'll notice even in the second episode, Pink and Yellow tend to stick together because they both have no clue what they're doing.
Yeah. That's the funny thing about it is like they're always talking about I can't fight anybody until all five of us are together, or like we can't stand against this until all of us are together. But like the Pink and Yellow are completely useless
worthless.
At getting away every time there's a fight scene. They're like, we should transform too, and there's just they don't help at all.
Nope. They'll learn.
It's just a problem.
They'll learn. It's just some spoiled rich lady and an idiot farmer.
Yeah.
I look
he's supposed
forward
to be the joke character.
I look forward to their developments. That'll be interesting.
It's true. I'm real excited about where we're gonna go with this television series.
Yeah, I'm liking it a lot. It's really good.
Why don't we move on to some emails?
Sure, throw them out.
And we got a lot of emails this time. I'm noticing.
All right, let's see them. Maybe pick out some of the best ones.
The thing is, in the last hour, we've gotten 5 emails.
That's
so...
nuts. That's nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Our first email this week is from Swirly Jiffy.
Swirly Jiffy, I like that name.
Swirly Jiffy.
Swirly Jiffy, that sounds like a sex move or something.
Good. Hey, Jeff and Liam. How are you in this new bright post-build reveal future? I have 2 questions. One... to get the build form question out of the way, what 2 full bottles would you use for your suit if you were a rider in build?
Oh my god.
Probably bourbon and scotch.
A nice mix that'll fucking kill you. That's Kamen Rider Blackout right there.
Damn!
That name sounds pretty badass.
There's already a Kamen Rider Black.
Though. Yeah, but Kamen Rider Blackout? Come on, they could use it.
That'd be pretty cool. That's a tough question.
Jesus. Like, if there was a more defined theme, it might be easier. But it seems like now it's just like any fucking object.
I would have... one would definitely be a bottle of graphite, because I'm an artist.
Mmm.
And the other would be a bottle that just has human feces in it.
Because you're a shitty artist?
Because I'm a bullshit artist.
Just like Ryuki. I'm going to keep it simple and say animal and machine, since that seems like a lot of them are like that.
animal and machine.
I'm going to say... Fuck. A dog?
Jesus, I guess a tablet. like a drawing tablet would be my machine.
Okay, that's a good one. What about an animal?
And an animal... Fuck, you took dog. Dog's a turtle. I use turtle.
A turtle?
Turtle's my favorite animal, so...
That's not a bad choice. I'm gonna say...
Is your dog a pug again?
Oh, I already used pug for Jew, didn't I? Jew Ogier. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna have to pick
a
different
animal.
You
can use it again. Nobody's gonna...
No, I'm gonna pick something weird that no one else will pick. I'll pick a toucan as my animal.
A toucan?
Yeah, a toucan. And for the machine... I'll pick a fan. So it'd be like a toucan that flies with, like, fan wings.
So you'd be toucan fan.
Toucan fan. There you go. His wings have big fans on them, so they'll blow you away, but he can also fly with them.
Shit.
Boom.
I actually just started playing bass guitar, so I'm actually going to change mine to bass guitar.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
And, decent, I guess. I don't know. I'm teaching myself. I'll take bass guitar and... a hawk, so I'll be a rock hawk.
Oh, fuck off.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Nope.
It happened. That's nope. Where we live now.
Nope.
Question 2A.
2A.
Given that Amazon's is over for now and we might get a season 3, what show or Aries series hasn't already gotten a remake would you like done as a streaming series and how would you do it?
Oh, well, okay, let's put aside the fact that we've already talked about, like, oh, how could it be a sequel to Amazon's?
Yeah, this is completely separate.
Let's put that aside. Completely oh, shit. Separate. What about...
I think...
If we're going with the cyborg theme, what about, like, a cyberpunk show where, like, cybernetic prosthesis becomes popular? And that's kind of the social concern of the show. That's where the moral...
It's like transhumanism?
Yeah, like transhumanism is sort of the moral quandary that the show presents.
Mm-hmm.
That could be interesting. I don't know which series it would be, because every fucking show or writer is a cyborg. Maybe the original.
That's true. The original's been remade already.
Oh, that's true, technically, yeah. Well, anything
1, 2,
other than...
1, 2, and V3 have been remade.
Anything other than 1, 2, and V3. X. I don't know. What about you, Jeff?
Damn, that's difficult. I feel like Skyrider never did a whole lot to differentiate himself.
Mm.
Because it was supposed to be like a reboot of Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
It differentiated itself later on, for sure. But I feel like you could take a theme from Double of like dopants who people who were using the Gaia memories.
Mm.
To get revenge and shit. And I feel like you could take that a step further and do, like, make them a 100% metaphor for drugs where people, like, become addicted to them.
Just go all the way with it?
Yeah, and, like, have to transform and shit. And it's like a war on drugs kind of
series.
Oh,
okay. That'd be cool.
With, like, Skyrider.
Yeah. That'd be sick.
And he's, like, a narc. I don't know.
He's someone who lost a loved one to dopant use.
Or you could do a really cool series with Zekros and have it be like an assassin's thing.
Oh.
Like an assassin organization that's trying to track down and murder an AWOL member.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, that'd be dope. And he also asks, what are your top 5 worst dads in Kamen Rider? And they're all terrible. Like, so
the list of good dads would be very short. I'm trying to think of, like, Rider dads who are not the worst. The show, or the movie, the ghost movie, wants you to like Makoto's dad, but I didn't.
No, he was a piece of shit.
Every other Rider's dad is just dead or just not there. Or they killed themselves.
I can't make a list. They're all bad.
They're all off. What's the worst one, though? I think we decided on...
Gold Drive.
Gold Drive, yeah.
Yeah, Gold Drive is definitely the worst father. Thanks for writing in, though.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Swirly Jiffy.
Swirly Jiffy.
Our next email is from Don Piantis, who seems to have the opposite opinion of us pretty much every time he writes in.
What did he say?
After how predictable last week's episode was, oh no, he has the same opinion. No. Hey RCR, after how predictable last week's episode was, surprisingly, this week's episode really got to me. But I'm thinking this will be a giant ploy since there was no emotional buildup from recent episodes for Perrin's demise. Though, can't Perrin respawn? Also, it was great to see more Doctor scenes.
I don't think Perrin can respawn. Well, actually, no, he's a bugster, right?
Yeah, bugsters can respawn.
As long as they don't die in the frozen time.
But doesn't someone have to respawn them?
Someone has to use a bug visor, yeah. But Graphite's got one.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
What the shit? Were there any stakes in today's episode at all? I totally forgot about that.
It's all, like, plot contrivance. You're not supposed to remember that shit. That's how Kamen Rider works, apparently. Sadly. He writes a little bit more about his opinions on X-Aid and toys. And his opinion on build. But we're running out of time, so...
Okay.
P.S. I didn't know Two Girls, One Cup until last week's podcast. I wish I didn't know about it at all.
Hey, we introduced you.
I'm really sorry about that. Since building his toys have arrived, one, what is your favorite Henshin devices and hated Henshin devices based on function and design? You can have more than one each. My favorite would be an Advent deck and buckle because I could summon a belt instead of carrying it. I usually hate bulky kinds, but the Drive Driver always comes to mind because of the bracelet and too many switches. Turn the key, pull the lever, press the button.
Favorite, probably the Sengoku Driver. That was super cool.
The Double Driver
is
my favorite.
Double Driver's really cool.
That's the only one I own, so...
least favorite, probably the... What was Kiva's thing called?
I don't remember.
I hate the bat. I think it looks dumb.
No, Kivat.
The Kivat. Yeah, I hate the Kivat. It looks stupid. I don't like it.
I think Meteor's belt is kind of weird.
It's
just like a big-ass circle.
Big sphere on his, yeah.
That you, like, spin. I actually really like Forze's belt, though, but only because when he does the switches, it does, like, super close-ups
of
people's faces.
Yeah, I like that
love.
I haven't seen Forze, but I've seen that.
They don't do it enough.
Yeah.
But a belt I really don't like, the Ghost Driver.
Oh, yeah, that's a good choice. Ghost Driver
is
fucking awful.
You open it up like a Walkman,
it's
and you shove an orb in it and shut it.
It's just ugly. It just looks like a big hunk of melty plastic.
It is. That's all it looks like. I can't stand that belt.
Sucks.
Besides that, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're whatever.
It's whatever.
But I love the Double Driver. It's like a simple version. You just press the button to make it say its thing, and you put it in the slot.
Yeah. It's slick. It's nice. It's the cool motion when you, like, smash both of the sides into a W.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that.
It's so cool. Number two. This is a long shot. We all want to see something new and interesting, but still keep some rider tropes like Liam's favorite, Edgelords.
Mm.
What do you hope to see more and less of after X-Aid? Such as less father relations. We did four series in a row now. And more bike scenes. For more, I'd want less episodes focusing on a new rider or form. I might not get this wish with build.
Nope.
And less villains overstaying their welcome if they make no progress. I have more, but I might draw too much criticism. Thanks for reading again, Don Piontis.
Always draw criticism. It's the most fun thing on the internet.
It's what we do.
I want... Ooh, that's tough. What? You go.
I want better fight choreography.
Oh, yeah. That isn't just, like, lasers.
Yeah, I mean, X-Aid hasn't had terrible or bad fight choreography or anything, but it seems to do a lot of punching and, like, pushing.
Just regular old punching, nothing really fancy.
Yeah, like, below the waist kicking, or, like a kick and then it, like, cuts away so nobody gets kicked.
Mm-hmm.
They just fly off or whatever.
Yeah.
If Wizard did one thing right, it was fight choreography.
Yeah, does Wizard have good fights?
Yeah, for the most part, anyway.
Mm.
But, I don't know. I just want to see some really good fight choreography. The movies whet my appetite for it, and it shows that it's possible.
Yeah.
In the suits to do good fight choreography, but they just don't really have the time during the series to devote to it, I guess.
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot. Kamen Rider is a very, like, economic production. It's very, like, efficient.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of the stuff like that is you have to kind of fast track it. I guess fight choreography is one of those things.
Bike scenes, I agree with.
Yeah.
I'd love to see more bike scenes. You will probably not get your wish with Build about less rider forms and less riders being introduced, but I agree with you.
If I said I wanted more of anything, I was talking about this a little earlier, I want more very raw, very real character drama. I want stuff that... I want drama that doesn't have anything to do with being a rider. Like a side plot that just doesn't have anything to do with being a rider about like the main character's relationship with his sister deteriorating or something that just stresses him out and affects his ability to be a hero.
There's something, like, really entertaining about a series where, like, you're following the struggles of a character, just, like, his regular struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, shit goes horribly south with some terrible monster, and he has to put all of that aside to transform and fight.
It's compelling. It helps you relate.
Yeah. It's like a Peter Parker Spider-Man.
I was just
going to
say,
like,
that's the
Peter Parker's life is falling apart because he goes off to be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And you see the repercussions of it.
Yeah, but even then, like, I was talking to this about my friends recently because we saw Spider-Man Homecoming, which is very good. It's a very good movie.
I want to see it, but I haven't yet.
I prefer the Raimi movies because of there's these scenes like the one in Spider-Man 2 when the bank is foreclosing on Aunt May's house and she's trying to give Peter $20 for his birthday and he's like, I can't accept this. And she's like, she kind of snaps at him to take it and starts crying. Just that just kind of raw, real shit I wish Ryder had more of that it doesn't really have these days. I would love to see more of that in Build. I'm probably not going to, but...
And then there's that part where he tries to go to college and raindrops keep falling on my head, keeps interrupting it.
That's not even a joke. That's one of my favorite scenes in all those movies.
I love that scene so much.
I gotta rewatch those movies. They're so good.
Thanks for writing in, though, Don Piantas.
Thank you.
Can you guess who our last email of the evening is from?
Is he a serpent?
He is a serpent. This man belongs in Slytherin House. It's Jake the Snake.
Good evening.
Hey, guys. Man, this week was brutal and parried. Not only was he off his game slash scared to death after getting beat down by Masamune, being told he was being kept alive since they needed Emu's capability of transforming intact, but he goes down in a one-sided fight with Emu, telling him he needed to get the ending he deserved.
Brutal.
Also, regarding Build, I'm really scared for it. The suit's absolutely phenomenal, and the rumored plot sounds promising. These sound like the ingredients for a Rider show that will completely fail to live up to expectations and suck. Man, I hope the suit rule is wrong this time. That's the patented Rider Club Radio inverse quality Toei suit... Fuck, I forgot.
I believe it's the inverse suit quality rule.
It's the Toei inverse suit quality something. It's not rule.
Law? The law of inverse suit quality?
Whatever. I've changed the name of it every single time I've ever said it. So I guess it doesn't matter.
I'm sure.
Principle. Principle.
Principle, that's it.
The Toei inverse suit quality principle.
That's it.
Damn it. Anyway, questions. One, Toei would probably never do it, but if there was to be a Kamen Rider show based on the Phoenix Wright games, what would your concept for such a hypothetical show be? I think it was only done so far in Decade as an AR world, but the idea of trials whose results are based on lawyer Kamen Riders fighting feels like it would be a cool theme. That's pretty much perfect for
a
Phoenix Wright universe.
A lot of people have said this, and I strongly agree. If that one Decade episode about the lawyer Riders was just a whole show, I'd be down. That's so cool.
That would be cool as hell.
It's weird enough and high concept enough that they'd probably do it in this modern Kamen Rider world. Like, the future of 2000XX, the law is determined by who's the strongest rider.
Phoenix would be the hero rider, of course. The Ryuki.
Mm.
He wants to turn this system around and make sure people are, like, innocent.
Defends the innocent clients, yeah.
And Edgeworth would be the secondary rider.
I'd be down. I like
Liam's
Phoenix Wright.
Favorite.
My favorite.
Is Edgeworth your favorite?
In Phoenix Wright? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know who my favorite character is. There's a lot of good characters in that.
My favorite character in Phoenix Wright is Gumshoe.
Really? I thought you'd say Larry Butts.
Larry Butts is hilarious, but I like Gumshoe better.
Gumshoe's funny. I like him.
I think that would be a great series. I don't think Phoenix Wright would get involved in it, though, sadly.
Maybe as a cameo.
Two, what are some of your favorite guns/cannons in Kamen Rider? G3X's cannon is pretty fucking hard to beat. His Gatling cannon.
I was always really fond of the Magnavisor with that card
slot.
That's
true.
It's very nice.
That's true. I forget what Garen's gun is called.
It
has a
names.
Card slot as well.
Yeah.
And I like Garen's gun quite a lot.
I gotta watch Blade.
The trigger gun, the fucking double trigger gun.
Oh yeah.
Is really cool. It's like a little Uzi type of gun.
Is it?
It just has this weird clip coming off of it that I always liked.
That's funny.
I know they're not called clips, gun owners. Don't fucking shoot me.
Yeah, magazine, Jeff. Get it right.
Fucking, it had Time magazine hanging off of it. I loved it.
John Toei, Man of the Year.
Thank you, and looking forward to the next episode. As always, Jake the Snake. P.S. Coming from someone who wasn't a fan of it initially, but realized his mistake, I'll be surprised if people are still hating on Muteki after next week's preview. I mean, come on, the dreads can be used to slam enemies into the ground. How can people not like that?
So bad looking.
God, you are the dumbest man.
I'm not budging, it looks awful.
You are literally the dumbest man.
Okay, I wear that with pride.
We actually have one last email.
Okay.
Actually, no, we don't.
Okay.
So, that's the end of our emails. Thanks, everybody, for writing in. If you'd like your email read on the air, and you have something neat to say, or a question, or whatever, you can send it in to RyderClubRadio@gmail.com.
Or...
And keep in mind that if I don't read your long email on the air, it doesn't mean I haven't read your long email and enjoyed it.
Okay. Or you can follow us on Twitter, @RyderClubRadio.
And we tweet there sometimes.
We tweet there, okay, like once a year or so.
Like it's like an annual thing. We do rock, paper, scissors to see who has to do it that year. Tune in next time to Ryder Club Radio, where Emu's alive again.
See ya.
Bye.